Glory to Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us. The aim of this class is to gain the art of spiritual life through the teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius Brancheninov. This study has already transformed many lives, and we hope your life will be transformed too.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and power, and glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and ever and forever. Amen. Amen.
So we are going to continue in this with this theme about prayer. We made progress last time, you know, several pages, and also it was relatively easy way. So hopefully we will do the same here today. So let's start. We are on page 151, somewhere in the middle.
There in the depths of the heart, you will see the fall of mankind. You will see your soul destroyed by sin. You will see the grave. You will see hell. You will see the demons. You will see chains and shackles. You will see the fiery sword of the cherubim who protects the way to the tree of life, preventing mankind from entering heaven. You will see many other mysteries hidden from the world and from the sons of the world. When this vista will open before your eyes, your attention will be completely enthralled. You will cool toward everything temporal and perishable that you previously adored.
Very interesting words, isn't it? But he's using these words from St. John, from Philokalia, and he tries to somehow describe state of soul when the soul makes progress in this art of prayer. And it's not only prayer. Again, we are talking about theme, about prayer, but we have to take even those things we were talking before, about spiritual life is complex thing. So you cannot just concentrate only on prayer. If you are praying, we know that we should fast. We should have a humility of heart, that we have to have this desire to follow Christ. And all those things create this atmosphere or this environment when prayer can grow. And again, he's talking about something we might not have totally own experience with that. He's talking about prayer which grows, and through this growth, this new horizon is open for us. And we start to realize with sharpness things which we were not realizing before, we were not thinking about. And what is this reality? At first, soul starts to somehow see what is the result of sin with some kind of sharpness and bitterness, and even like this, almost with fear. And so it's one fruit of this prayer that we start to be aware of these realities which were somehow covered or hidden before us before. And it is not only this fearful thoughts that when we realize that what sin does. You know, like I was saying yesterday that about this virus, that we are scared of this coronavirus, and it has like 3% of mortality. I said 1% yesterday. It was wrong information. Mm-hmm. I realized today. But sin has 100% mortality of soul. And we are not, somehow we don't live with this thought in our minds. But when we growing in prayer and with together with all these aspects of spiritual life, the soul is open for these realities. But not only this one, but we start to taste something from this sweetness of heaven. That we start to realize more and more this quality of God's love. We say and we believe that God loves us, but then through this progress in prayer, this understanding gets body, I would say, that we it is more concrete. There is some kind of this spiritual experience and spiritual soul which understands that, well, this love of God is something so great that it really forces us to go to our knees, to really to glorify God. And another effect of this, like, progress in prayer is that we start to lose taste for things we loved before. We are losing interest in the world. That we will find things, and with some kind of surprise that we love to go, for example, I don't know, some kind of activity we love to go all the time, and we go again, and suddenly we feel, well, it is so shallow. You know, how could I love it so much? You know, the things are starting to lose this taste and attractiveness for us. And many people are scared at that moment when they realize that. When they realize they are losing interest in activities, things, even in people. Some they were hanging out, you know, before, and they feel that something wrong is going on in their life. And true is that actually it is progress which calls person to deeper solitude, which in which prayer can grow more. It leads, and not only to solitude, even we can recognize that we are becoming friends with people who are more spiritual, and we are searching for their presence. That we are getting new friends, and maybe we are losing some friends. It's some kind of natural movement or change in our life when we make this progress in our prayer. But to be sure, some people have this some kind of questions when this state comes and they are disturbed. And if this disturbance is not leaving us, it's good to talk to your spiritual father, you know, about that, what is going on, because it might be something else there too. But it is in the case that we are not calm, that it takes away our peace, it's really good to talk about that and to follow the advices of spiritual father. All right, questions, comments? I think that each of us somehow tasted something of that fruit of this progress in prayer life. More intensive, less intensive, but it is impossible if we really try with good intentions. Something of that we had to experience. Maybe not in this kind of intensity, like these monks who go somewhere and they live in a cave, seeing nobody for months. Maybe not, it is not so intensive as they feel it, but in some level, for sure, we have this experience. So let's not be afraid of this. All right, so let's have another.
Today or tomorrow, we will die, said St. Andrew to one of his monks, distracting him from his attachment to earthly things and explaining the foolishness of such attachment. What truth is in these words? It is a very accurate portrayal of the unknown length of our life. If not today, tomorrow we will die. There is nothing so easy as to die. When even the longest life comes to its end, it seems no longer than a fleeting second. What is the purpose of concerning oneself with something that, of necessity, you will have to leave behind you forever, and that very soon? How much better is it to study yourself through prayer, to study the coming life and world in which we will remain forever?
Okay, so he reminds us one very important ascetical exercise, and it is remembrance of death. And St. John Climac, remember his book, The Letter to Divine Ascent. We should read it during Great Fast now. But there is a six-step remembrance of death. And he says there that who remembers death every day will become a very virtuous person. Who remembers death every hour, that person will become saint. And there is a truth in this. And people try to avoid to do this because they say, oh, this is like horrible, that it is stealing this joy of life from us if we think about our death. For sure, if we live earthly life, if we even didn't start spiritual life, some kind to make these concrete steps to become holy, virtuous, to become people, or Christians, or God's will, for sure we will feel that, because it will take away this pleasures of life we enjoy. But once we come to this living faith and we open ourselves for this reality of heaven, eternal life, and through this progress in prayer, we realize that okay, there is something I can feel, that it is more than I'm experiencing now. When we start to make progress in virtues, and suddenly we see that it's really beautiful to have virtues, to have purity of mind, to be humble, to have peace, to have this abstinence and moderation in life, and we start to taste this fruit of these virtues. So then this hunger for eternal life, for this fulfillment of these virtues, is in us. And this brings us really to the thoughts about death. We realize that we have only short time to master these virtues. And so we start to really work harder, in our life to exercise these advices from Holy Fathers, advices from the Gospel. because we want to reach this, these good things which we started to taste. And the remembrance of death keeps us vigilant, keeps our watchfulness all time, and it puts to correct perspective everything what we are doing. And we can avoid, like, really avoid, like, wasting of time. Now, if I'm talking about wasting of time, sometimes we think that wasting of time is when we don't work. But they don't think in this way. Wasting of time for them is wasting. It's the time which we spend in foolish things. So it is really not wise to expose ourselves to some kind of activities we know ahead that it is not good for us. Because not only that it can bring us to temptation, to sin, but many times when we expose ourselves to activities which are not helping to our riches, it can happen that we ruin everything what we are building for weeks in our life. Together with, now we have great fast now, and I remember experience of one priest. He made this some kind of decision that while he will take the great fast as strict as possible. So we eliminated all distractions and everything. We were very strict, and it was hard being in like active pastoral life and to avoid all the things, distraction. It was not easy, but he was trying. And then it was Palm Sunday, and he was invited by parishioners to come over to his house because he had like 60 or he was 60, birthday, but round celebration. And I told him, it's Palm Sunday, it's Sunday, it's almost Pascha here, so I will go for a while, you know, because, well, and he went there was nothing extra, nothing like, but he returned back home and he realized, now I ruined everything that I was building last 40 days. You know, he just felt like dirty, he felt like that he just put away everything. But it's difficult to explain that, but he knew that through this decision he really ruined what was somehow building in him during those days. So for this moment I can say that we can do the same things, you know, we can try to pray more, we try to be faithful to God, we try to somehow work on our virtues, and then we make decision to go somewhere without serious thinking or doing something, and then we realize that all this my effort I was doing was wasted, and I have to start from the beginning somehow. But if we remember on that, this remembrance on that helps us to make wise decisions. You know? Does this make sense? All right. Comments or questions? Maggie? No? Not now.
I'm really thinking about St. Anthony.
About who?
His quote, "Today or tomorrow we will die."
Yeah. Good. So, okay, let's have another paragraph.
The solitude of the cell and the desert, these are the abodes of prayer. He who has tasted of prayer, said St. John of the Ladder, will flee from crowds of people. What, if not prayer, makes his beloved like the wild ass of the desert, free from the necessities of social life? If you want to dedicate your life to the work of prayer, Separate yourself from the sight of the world and reject the society of people. Separate yourself from conversations and from the usual friendly visits to your cell, even if they come because of love for you. Separate yourself from everything that hinders or disturbs your mystical communication with God. Live on earth and in the society of men as if you were a stranger. You are a wanderer. The earth is your hostel. At the hour in which you will be called is unknown to you. The call is inevitable and inexorable. It is impossible to turn away from it or to fight against it. Prepare yourself for the joyful departure from the hostel through holy prayer.
Well, when we listen to these words and we read them, so it's evident that, well, they were written for monks. But, well, the purpose of the book is, it's not a book for monks. The purpose of this book, of this manual of spiritual life, is to give advices to Christians or to offer like path to salvation for everybody. And it was always like this was purpose of the book, and for me it was puzzling that many times he uses this advice or this teaching like he's writing only like for monks, and why he's playing with that, you know, if it is for everybody. And there was a nice article about his work, and it was explained there. There was one paragraph which brought light for me, the understanding. He said that he's using these strict advices, which were from monks, to remind us importance of our effort to live strictness or this radicalism of gospel in limits which we can reach. It means that, as I understood it, that while he gives this ideal and he invites us, try to reach this ideal according to your state, vocation, position in your life. This is the goal. For sure, we cannot leave our families and to go to, I can't say, we cannot, well, it's impossible to say goodbye, I'm going to live to cave, you know, because I make decision now. This is not possible, but what is possible is to arrange our life and the settings of our life to reach, to come very close to this activity. And so he's saying that we don't have dispensation from this activity, from this desire to reach this unity, mystical communication with God. And this commandment or this pressure comes out from receiving baptism. Through baptism, there is this our decision, well, made by our parents, in our case probably, to follow Christ. We said no to, we refused Satan. We committed our life to Christ. And from that moment, this invisible war became real in our life. We have to defeat all these effects of our fallen nature. We have to try to make ourselves clean and holy for God through following his commandments, his will. And if experience of saints is that to use this separation from world is good thing for us, which helps us to reach the goal, this holiness and our salvation. So we should really look to our life and to change life or our settings, and non-stop changing these settings of life to come close to this environment which will help us in this. It seems like strange for us, you know, like we live in the world, and I think that last century was a century of big changes, because again, still, if I remember my grandparents and I saw their life, you know, like as a child, and now reading that, I realize, well, they had this settings of life correctly. It was their life was some formed by these settings. So their habits, way how they lived, was actually following of these desires, more intensive, less intensive. But you could recognize that. You could recognize that, and how this next generation was spoiled by different offers. I remember a story that my father, he told me that when they bought like new first TV, we were like 3 years after marriage, you know, marriage was, so it was like 69, 68. They bought like this first TV set, and his mother was like going crazy. What are you doing, you know, priest, and buying TV and but well, she make like war. But then she came to visit them, and my father said, yeah, she was like talking too much, arguing, and then she was sitting in front of TV like all time. She was not even talking to us, you know. And so, but this says how easily even her setting of life, she somehow naturally felt that it's not a good thing. But when she came to close and taste it, she was like taken by that. And I'm saying this just like an example that it is temptation for us to use many things which world offers us as a tool, without which, well, this normal thing, no harm, without thinking, you know, and we become very fast like victims of these tools, of these offers. So we have to be very careful and to look at many things we consider like normal and natural for us in our life, and to separate from them, it might be very good. Just many times we even don't think that we should do something like that, or to separate from those things, to try or eliminate and to put correct amount of time to these offers. So I think this his advice here, even he points to monks' strictness. This is calling for us to bring this strictness as much as possible to our life with wise decisions. May we continue?
I have a question.
Yes.
How should we approach separating ourselves from society or from people who aren't in Christianity or aren't practicing in their spiritual life, and they might not understand your separation, that you know, you know, understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So you have to make a list of these people, and then you write a letter. I don't want to meet you anymore. And so don't try to contact me. I am deleting all your contacts from phone, from Facebook, from everything. So, no, I'm joking.
Well, Miran was into it.
Practice again.
Well, I think that for sure it is not something what is like violent.
Yeah.
You know, that we know about these rules. So if we become more vigilant, and I would say to take it from this positive way, that if we try to follow way which brings us to closer to virtues, to holiness, so then it will become natural, this change will come natural. Mm-hmm. And actually they will separate from you, mm-hmm. you know, because world doesn't like those who don't belong in this world. So it is, I would say that it's nothing like violence, separation that I will then or I keep the, so for sure, you know, if your, let's say that your friend has habit goes to go Friday for a drink to a bar to have good time to have some kind of hanging out, and she calls you that come, that's a good time. And you say, well, no, not this Friday, you say, because, well, you are, if you know that person is not Christian, it doesn't make sense to explain that I'm doing that because it's Friday, day of Christ's death, and I am fasting from those things to honor his passions and death. You just say, I'm not going there. And if it repeats several times, the time will come that nobody will ask you to go out on Friday, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think in other things it is the same. And another thing is that many times our way how our life is going, that, well, I try to go for the liturgy, I try to save my time for prayer, I try to, so naturally, I am choosing where I am going, and through this, slowly, this separation comes naturally. You know, it's just following our way. And Randy, you told me a few years ago.
We don't have any friends.
What?
That we don't have any friends.
No, yeah. Yes, Randy told me that, well, Father, we don't have any friends. You know, if you would tell this to somebody else, so they would think that, well, what kind of strange person you are. But I understood what you are saying, this experience, that you said that our friends are in church. They're only friends. And well, it might be something like strange or some kind of bitterness, but actually it is not. Actually, this is like sign of some kind of movement on this way in spiritual life through which this naturally separation comes, because you cannot serve to God and to world. So if you make decision to serve God, you are going away from the world too. And this is this is something what is experience of everybody who makes this choice. And this is, we say that all some people are active in the church, some people are not active in the church, in parish. But true is that it is not that somebody wants to be active or not. It's many times it is connected that we are attracted by parish or this community more and more as we grow towards God in different ways, some through activity, some through mere prayer and other things. But we experience this separation. So I think that it is this effort he's describing to go to solitude somehow. Yes, in some ways we have to make a wise decision when there are offers given to us. But otherwise, I think it is like natural progress. And true is that yes, we will lose some friends, we will lose some people, but we will get a lot of new friends, who are on the same boat.
When I worked one summer, we had one night off that we'd go out. We'd go to this little place, and the bartender used to put down a pitcher of beer and a glass of Coke, because the Coke was for me. And as the summer went on, the other folks started drinking less. And they came to me one day and said, you have as much fun as we do, and you feel a lot better in the morning than we do. So they started drinking less, just because I never made a big deal about it, but I was always the designated driver and all that kind of stuff. And at work now, it's amazing how I don't really make a big deal about it, but occasionally I'll say something, and now if they take God's name in vain, they apologize. And I say, well, don't apologize to me, So, but at least they know that that's not something that I, that I appreciate, something that I care about. And they're kind enough to say, well, sorry about that, So you can take that and make it into a kind of a witness type thing, and you'd be surprised how it kind of spreads quietly.
Sure, there's another thing about that. Jim?
Well, and just what you said in your sermon, Sunday, that environment you create around yourself is the best example how to lead people to Christ.
Yeah, but they don't know because I changed homily on something.
I did,
yeah.
Good
one
Saturday.
What?
Busted.
No.
It's almost the exact opposite. Don't go near anybody.
No, but you are right. But this is another fruit of this way. That through our running away, so then we are getting the strength to live a different life. And this has this impact on the others. I have to explain what Jim said, because I have to explain that I changed my homily because there was one person who came morning on Sunday, and this person said to me, we were talking, I came earlier, I want to pray more for those who are infected by this coronavirus. And I started to think about this, and I said, well, I like that, because it was fitting with the gospel. We have these four guys who brought this paralyzed man to Christ, and I made like, okay, this person is like this guy, is one of these guys who brought somebody to Christ. And I started to think, and I said, well, probably I should somehow change this homily, for today, because it hit me so I felt like inspiration. It was not a perfect one because I had only a few minutes for preparation, but But what I was saying on Thursday was, on Saturday was that I don't know how I came to this point, but
the witness that you give, it's how you live. That's how you attract people to follow Christ.
Yeah, well,
and they see your fruits as you live, and and then like Patrick said, people around you, how like if a nun would pass, you might be hearing some raw conversation. You clean it up when
yeah,
the nun walks
yeah.
past, or you know the priest, or the you know when you're around people who you know would be offended. You clean it up, and eventually you just fall into that pattern. You become, you just don't talk like you used to.
I was talking about this man who was working, and he, as a part of his work, was to go to deal with these truck drivers
yes.
who had garage in Okoba,
yeah.
and they were always the men of this like nice language, you know. They knew all these beautiful words, you know, and they were using that. And this young man, he was dealing with them, and he was friend, but he was never using this their language. And once, after a few months, he was there in garage, and one of his truck drivers, he told him, "Get out,
mm-hmm.
because when you are here, I cannot swear." And I think that this is what we have, this power, you know, that that if we change, if we grow and we try to follow Christ, it is not only that we are growing, building something inside of us, that through this we are creating this environment around us which is really changing people, how they act. Yeah, true. I like this thought which came that when you are around a nun, you really are careful. You know, we had nuns in seminary, so we were always careful around
them. Double whammy,
man
and female.
Okay, let's continue because it goes to that.
All right.
Correct.
Prayer joins a person to God. The fallen angels look upon its labor with unutterable envy and anger, since from their fall they have gone from union with God to a frightful, insane war against him. They try to frighten the one who is praying with various temptations, seeking to drive him away from his salvific ascesis, to wrest from him that success and blessedness that he will indubitably receive from his labors. And so the one who desires to dedicate himself to the exercise of prayer must prepare himself in advance for sorrows, so that he is not shocked and disturbed when they attack him, so that he courageously withstands them with the power of faith and endurance.
Yeah. So he's bringing us warning, which you can find in each book of this manual for spiritual life. And I think he was talking about it before, that if you are going to start good work, be ready for attack, you know, for fight. So now he's talking in connection with prayer about that, but I think it has wider application. So for all good works which leads to towards our which pushing us towards our salvation, we have to be prepared that there will be like attack against us. And there are a lot of advice how to do this, how to be prepared for this attack. But I like this explanational advice of Saint Pimen the Great. When he was asked what to do, he said that he made this connection that if the stove is like red hot, you know, prepared for cooking, so you cannot see a fly to sit on this, you know. But if you let this stove to become cold, that fire is gone, and this store is called, you can see like a lot of flies sitting there and walking on the store. And he says that it's the same thing, that if we persist in like in the spiritual works, so these temptations will be maybe buzzing around us. We could hear the noise, but none of these temptations will land to our heart. And so he says that, yes, if you start this spiritual warfare somehow, you start to fight for holiness, to grow spiritually. So you have to be ready that there will be attack against you to damage this your effort. So how to explain that, that the intensity of this attack comes in the moment of laziness, that we say, well, I'm going to have a break. I will take it today easier. When these moments come to our life, then in these moments we can experience power of this attack. So we have to be vigilant, and we should try to keep this our heart red hot, and not to allow them to these temptations to land. And it's mostly how we can do this. This advice is not only to keep some kind of rules which we put to our life for spiritual growth, but especially to keep this desire for God, desire for good things, for holiness in our in our life. All right, we have a few minutes, so one more paragraph.
The demons attack the monk who exercises in prayer by physical diseases, by poverty, and by the lack of attention and help from others, in the same way that they attacked and oppressed John with God's permission. But we, like this righteous man, must bless and thank God for everything he allows the demons to do to us. With praise and gratitude, let us do the all-holy will of God that is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Okay, so he goes further and he tells us that, well, those attacks can have bigger intensity from time to time, that really we can be but we have to understand that God allows many times this temptation to come to test us, because through this we are growing. And how can we deal with that? He gives us very good advice. We should give thanks even in the moments of these difficult times, when we are even sick, when we experience lack of things, lack of attention, lack of help from others. All those things can be these tools for demons to attack to us, but in the same time, it can be allowed by God to enter to our life, to make us stronger. And nothing is done without God's will, without God's attention. So even in those moments, God is present and he keeps things in his hands. And because to keep this in our mind will help us to give thanks even for bad things which are getting to our life. And I think that this is difficulty for us. It's not easy to learn this art, to be thankful to God even in the midst of storms and difficulties. And usually what we do, we complain for a day, and then we start to give thanks to God. Mm-hmm. It is this way because we come to our senses and we realize, well, it might be God's will. But we should start to learn to make these moments that we don't see or don't understand, or we are reacting not well, make shorter and shorter, make to exercise, even in small things, small these difficulties we experience, we should start to learn to give thanks to God even for that. That through this, our faith, our desire for Him becomes stronger. And then when bigger things will come, we'll be ready. We'll be ready to react correct way. And for sure, these enemies, invisible enemies of our souls, they attack us without mercy. But we should not be afraid. You know, if we are, because we know for sure that we will be not tested over our limits. This is one thing. Another thing is that if we have to be aware that if we resist, we have to be aware that something is coming to our life. When we read life of saints, especially these fathers of desert, or desert fathers. You can find many times there that if there was some kind of attack of temptations, like very strong, sharp, they usually say, something is coming, and usually they experienced some kind of this wave of grace, or there's something happened, what was really good blessing for community or for them, or there is always something there. I remember from what older priests were saying many times that there were like many times it was like physical problems during the day, that they were sick, not feeling well, and it was difficult to keep in like this rhythm of work, and they couldn't paint what is going on. They just felt bad. To give thanks during this time and to not change rhythm of life and work was well, to describe, one said this concrete experience. He said he was so sick, so he didn't fall whole day, and so he was in temptation. I have to cancel liturgy. And he said, no, I will try to somehow to do it. And before liturgy, one person came for confession, and this priest said, well, now I am almost dying, and even confession now, you know, so, but he did it. After confession, everything was gone. And he said, well, I had to probably suffer because of this grace which was coming to that person, so this confession. That there are like experience of these saints, but all these other priests who many told me these different stories, that they said that you as a priest, many times you will be paying. They said this, I probably it's not correct theologically or some spiritual, but they were saying that you have, many times you will be paying ahead, but remember, something good will come. Something I think that I experienced that, but I think this is just, it's just my thoughts, you know. I wanted to be like them. But they say that it is true, and somehow, for sure, if we resist to these attacks and we resist with giving thanks to God, blessing from above is coming. Yeah. All right, so thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please share it with those who might like to be enriched by this teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius. If you live in our area, we would love if you could join us for our study in person on Monday nights at 7 p.m. at St. Nicholas Byzantine Catholic Church in Barberton, Ohio. Thank you and God bless.